Okay, Rio leaders. Who doesn't want to read another email? I haven't led in a year now, and I still don't. So instead of adding another email to your inbox, I'm going to try to make your ride in or out a little better. So first off, happy 2024. But more importantly, happy halfway there, Mark. Yeah, now that's worth a toast to Anderson Cooper. So now that you're back in the swing of things, here's the top five tips I came up with for a smooth transition back for a second half of this year. Number one, think about it like this. Everyone is rested. Absences were sort of skyrocketing there with your staff pre the break, and that's because no one likes the long haul. We have another long haul around March when you hear teachers say things like, oh man, we don't have a day off this entire month. I used to love to replay that in my head in July when I was the only one there, right? I mean, okay. So, however, they have been off now for a couple weeks. So everyone in January should be at work. This should be like your month with the most amount of highest attendance, right? Your least amount of absences. Celebrate it. Come up with a superlative during your next staff meeting or collaboration. It takes 1 minute to give the teacher who drinks the most coffee award or teacher who shines like 2024 award. Mix it up, but make them feel wanted since they are all there. How about a parking space? I don't know, something like that. Could parents provide a random coffee surprise? How about like schools that have an ASB? Students make something nice and you can hang it up as like a positive post-it wall. Hang a large, white, clean post-it paper on a wall, and any student or staff that sees or wants to say something nice about someone else, what they see, they just post it on a large poster paper. Maybe things they're thankful for. Maybe things they enjoy about their teachers, like teachers only. How about that, right? I came up with that one organically. Who knows, but now is the time to spread some cheer and happiness since we're all back to work, but more importantly, they're all there. All right, so number two, with the start of the new year, what's your work resolution? Here's some examples. How well do you keep your calendar? If you're good at that game, how good is your network? What about professional development for you? What are you reading? How about that one? Dr. P, give us that book. I have it here. What do we choose to be, right? Are you reading that one? Are you reading something else? Do you write? Do you podcast? Do you watch something? I don't know. What is your work resolution? The point is, schedule something that is meaningful to yourself or improves or revises what you already do. It doesn't have to be massive. It doesn't have to be anything more than a step in the right direction. I read this book, Tiny Habits, by Dr. BJ Fogg. And my man said that it only takes one small addition, one small change, one small revision to what you do now to make a huge change in behavior down the road. Most people think it all has to be done at once or together in order for anything to work. This is usually overwhelmingly preventative. So start small. Here's a third tip for you. Think about how you meet with your people in 2024. Actually, here's a question for you as well. Are you meeting with them? Can you do it more often? Tell me, what do you think the average time of a school meeting has to be? What if I said I'm the king of 15? I once got graduation in under an hour. I also provided myself in an escape route after the ceremony and trained my staff to tell people I was someplace different each time. But that's a talent that is for another podcast. Why wait until you have to meet with your staff? Think about that for a second. Aren't you then just assuming everything's good? I mean, let's not assume in 2024. If you took 5 minutes, made it a regular time slot for that person only, then it's sort of up to them to come in, but take advantage of your support and change the purpose of why you communicate with them in the first place is something that is organically going to happen. So think about that for a second. How are you meeting with your people? I know that that is something that maybe or might seem like an addition to your already jammed day or calendar or schedule. But it could be jammed because you're not doing it regularly. And if you did that, you'd be proactive instead of reactive. I don't know. Let's think about that one for a sec. All right, number four. I had Mitch Weathers come in from Organized Binder, and I wanted to put this at the top of your minds. Mitch doesn't pay me, although he freaking should. What he does do is force teachers to follow the executive functions of learning when delivering instruction however they want to. So teachers decide what they want to teach still and how they want to teach it still, but they are guided by the tools for learning necessary for actual retention of information. Think of it like this. If a teacher takes notes but doesn't teach how to take notes, will students find successes in capturing what the teacher wants them to learn from this process? Isn't the teacher just talking and the students just writing? Is that the same as listening and taking notes as you listen, like actively listening? How about messy backpacks? How about English learners? How about teaching kids how to organize and reference before we flood them with new information and expect them to retain any of it? Organized Binder also helps with new or struggling teachers to become more effective, because I've used it with teachers that weren't, and it really sorts them out. And I've also used it with CTE teachers who were amazing in their fields prior to being a teacher, but weren't teachers. And so they really didn't know how to do it. So this takes that gray area out of it. Also, ACE is using it in the ninth grade classes, and it's working with those kids, and those kids are your kids. So I jumped on the chance to expose them to you. If you are interested, go to organizedbinder.com for more information on this program. It's a binder per kid. It's paper-based. And for those who say, oh, we're very technologically advanced for kids to be writing in binders, that's not the direction of our school. I say we all went that direction during the pandemic, and it made everything so complicated. Without the basics, which we assumed computers in every kid's hands during the pandemic would substitute for that, we are where we are. I found this program to be a solution at a time when we all have this similar problem, so I brought Mitch to you guys. Let me know if you want more info. All right. Last, mindset safety training is number five. Think about it like this. If you have a teacher call the office about a student who is unruly and they need assistance with this kid, how much of that outcome is created and or provoked? How much of that outcome could have been prevented? How much time then, if all or even half of these complaints were dealt with via prevention, would you get back and save during your day if you weren't then interrupted? Let me say that again. How much time would you save if your staff learned measures to be proactive instead of reactive? Again, I don't work for these guys, and they don't pay me in IPAs when they come here. Okay, that last part is a little bit of a stretch of the truth. I make them pay me because I have to go out during the week, but that's not real dollars and cents, and my wife doesn't get any of that, nor do my kids, so that doesn't really count. They teach staff how to recognize signs in students and in people in general, and gives them the tools to learn how to conduct a conversation that redirects focus, changes the outcome of topics, and alters the mindset of a student or person on the other end. So our words are not causation for additional disruption. If you knew you had lots of fights on campus, let's say, this is for you. If you knew you have staff that are new or struggling with management, this is for you. If you knew you had a load of sped students that are exhausting your personnel, this is for them. your aides, your office staff, you when working with parents of these students. This team is coming and it's already been paid for by your district. They're going to be here January 16th at the district office. They are open to training anybody that you guys need. Then they are giving a second day of training on 1/18 for different staff, or hopefully the same staff, so they get 2 days of their training. But I know you guys are stretched thin. I know it'd be really hard to send a bunch of people over, especially if you're already on a bare bones crew. But they are going to be at Rio del Norte conducting half-day professional development with the entire staff on 1/17. And if this is something that is of interest to you after you see and hear how great this goes, then we all look good here, and I'll have them come back. Remember, I may have said this to you guys before, but my successes is based on your successes. So these people aren't paying me. Your district is. And so if they come in and kick some butt and then you guys all benefit, we all win here. I'll keep these podcasts coming. If you want me to riff about anything particular, because that's what you're hoping to nerd out on in your ride, either to or from work, I'd be happy to. Classroom management, lesson planning, collaboration, how to make a podcast, how to have a difficult conversation with somebody that's coming up. Let me know, and I would be more than happy to practice that conversation with you, give you some tips on how not to do it and how to do it, share experiences, etc. I can even find people and bring them on, and we can all talk about it. You let me know. Let's make this great. I don't want you to have to read another email. I hope this gets you smiling. I hope your car ride was great. Let me know if you guys need anything at all. Until next time, your traveling principal is out of here. Drive safe.